The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Clipp Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Clipp.
Hi, people. Welcome back. Today I'm going to talk about how to win with stock home plans. But before I get started on that, I want to relate a conversation I had yesterday. I'm spending a few days in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, just once a summer, so you have to get down and see the beach, even though I'm mostly a mountain person. You know, the residential real estate market, the prices are down, and really pretty much at the bottom, according to The Economist, except in about 20 cities. And in those 20 cities, the prices have firmed up and even risen 5% and more. I think in Phoenix, it may be 15% over what they were a year ago. But in resort communities, first of all, they've been hit harder by this downturn in the residential market. And they may stay down longer. It's all a supply and demand thing. And obviously people are going to care about their first homes more, and they're not going to seek to buy a second home until, you know, they feel financially secure. So what that means is that now is an especially good buying opportunity in the resort locations, such as Myrtle Beach or Flooring Rock or, well, you can think of the resort locations. Yesterday, I was talking to one of the workers at the resort where I'm staying, and I told her what I was doing, what I do, and she said that she just bought a home in April, and it was a foreclosure, small, under $100,000, but she bought it below market, below what it should sell for right now as a foreclosure. Not a great deal, maybe 10% less. And remember, we're at the bottom of the cycle. So house prices run in cycles, and there's a norm or median price for them over time. When you're at the top of the cycle, they're selling for more than the median, what they should. When you're at the bottom, they're selling for less. So in this area, we're probably 20% off of what is the true value of a house. Combining that with buying a foreclosure, she's probably 30% off what is the true value of the house that she bought. She also got a no closing cost loan. I was so happy when she was telling me this stuff. She got a no closing cost loan, which means she didn't have to spend a bunch of money up front on appraisals and attorney fees, things like that, points. And her loan rate is 3.75%, 3.75%. That's nothing. Now, I haven't seen the house, so I don't know how aesthetically pleasing it is. But from a money point of view, she's a big winner. I mean, everything I'm talking about, winning at the Dream Home Race, she is. She owns a house now, and for sure, she's going to have equity in it down the road. And plus, it's about $200 a month less than what she was paying in rent. So, equity down the road, less than what she was paying in rent. She will now get tax deductions that she didn't qualify for before. And although she's at the bottom end, and she's paying such a low interest rate that she may still not make the $5,200 per year standard deduction. And she really credited, she said she didn't know what she was doing, but she had a real estate agent who really helped her a lot and stuck with her and showed her how to do it and how to get the financing. So she really credits the real estate agent to help her. And this is winning. This isn't multi-million-dollar winning. This is winning on a paycheck that's not that much above minimum wage, but it's winning. Now, on to our subject, Stockholm plans. Why are they so popular? And meaning, why are they used so often? Well, for homeowners, the real reason is access. When you start thinking about building a home, you know, you start looking around for ideas. And the Stockholm plans are so easy to find. They're right there. You know, you can go to Barnes & Noble and buy a book of them. They're in the paper. Now they're on the Internet. Just, you know, enter Google Stockholm plans or home plans, and you get tens of thousands of them. So they're really accessible, easy to use, and you can browse through them without talking to anybody. I think this is a key for a lot of people, is there's no pushy salesman. There's, you know, you don't have to talk to anyone, and you can look at the plans. The other reason is that they are a complete answer. Most people can't envision the plan of their home or the elevation. And here you can look in one place, and there's the plan, there's the elevation. It's complete. So it gives you all the answers, and they may not be the right answers, and but they're on paper. And there's always a feeling, well, if someone put it on paper, then it must be good, and it must work. That's not exactly correct. Now, stock plans are a good way to get started, especially if you want to do a custom home. They're a good way to get started and get your feet wet and thinking about things, but seldom are they a good final answer. Seldom are a good final answer. Why? By definition, they are generic. They fit the standard two-parent, two-and-a-half-kid family. If they can put five bedrooms in there instead of four, they will, even if they're small, nothing boxes, because it's now five bedrooms. They're designed to fit on generic, small, narrow lots. They're designed to fit where most of them are built, which is new subdivisions with minimal lot sizes. 80 feet wide, 60 feet wide. So they're not expansive. They are tight. And I think most of the stock plans are noticeable for how tight they are, compact. And most significantly, why stock plans are a starting point and not the answer is that they're mostly designed by residential designers and essentially people who were trained as draftsmen, trained how to use AutoCAD or, you know, the drafting tools, not trained as architects. To use a medical analogy, they were drawn by the scrub nurse, not by the surgeon. The lines are straight, the pictures are pretty, but the understanding of spatial relationships and the understanding of how people live is quite often lacking in the stock plans. Okay, why do builders prefer stock home plans? Think about what a builder is. A successful builder is always seeking to cut cost and to reduce risk. These are the two things that matter to them, cost and risk. If you build the same plan over and over again, your men become very efficient at building it. It becomes a repetitive task. And when you do a repetitive task, you can reduce time and reduce waste. You also reduce the risk of things going wrong. If you built this plan before, if you built this house a dozen times, then you know just how to do it, and you know things aren't going to mess up and slow you down. Especially for the big volume builders, the MI Homes, the David Weekly, homes are a product. They are not, you think of it as your house that you love and is special. They think of it as a widget. And they make their money producing widgets, knocking them out as quickly and efficiently as possible. So, Stock home plans are the way to go for them. And there's nothing wrong with this. By using them, the big builders, it becomes a competitive marketplace. And a lot of the cost savings that the builder has are passed on to the buyer, especially in this market. I mean, it is amazing how much house you can buy for the money right now. And the builders are, as you know, they figured out cheaper and cheaper and more efficient methods of producing the widgets. You just have to decide if you want to live in a widget. Okay. Now the question is, how do you personally win if you're dealing with a big builder and a stock home plan? Now, the builder, he wants to pick three plans and make every house in the neighborhood one of those three plans. If you're talking $200,000, $300,000 homes, well, it's all widgets to him. And he's going to be very unwilling and perhaps unable to change anything in the plan. So if you're talking $200,000-$300,000, you know, I think you're buying a product. It's just like buying a car. You can change the finishes, but you can't change, you know, the structure of the car. You can't change the engine. Now, let's see. So how do you win in that neighborhood? Well, you pick the best lot possible, and you pick the best-looking front, the house that looks the best from the street on the best lot. And later, when you go to sell your house, you'll find find that your house sells faster for a little more money. That's winning at that price range. When we come back from the break, I'll get above $400,000, and we'll talk about how to really push this game to win.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com. When you look at something that's been designed, whether it's clothing, architecture, or a work of art, do you stop and wonder about the inspiration and thought process that went into the design? Tune in to Dishing the Dirt on Design with hosts Ann Asher and Eleanor Schrader Schappa. We'll take the mystery out of the creation process, along with revealing the backstory from art to fashion to travel and so much more. Listen to Dishing the Dirt on Design every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We are in the midst of a global sovereign debt crisis that could lead to the ultimate risk for the world economy, the removal of the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. What will this event really mean to the markets? And more importantly, what does it mean for you and your family? Listen to Global Currency Watch with your host, Stephen Ayer, to get a full and objective look at the world's sovereign debt crisis and help you prepare for when the crisis envelops the United States. Global Currency Watch airs live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Business. Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's clipark@yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Okay. You're above $400,000. When you're above $400,000 with a big business builder, today you have leverage. The key is to make all the changes that you want to make to the plan before you sign the contract. Once you sign the contract, you, the owner, you have very little power. Remember, I talk a lot about power and the power relationship between the owner and the contractor, or the owner, the contractor, and the architect. Once you sign the contract, you have very little power, and so the contractor, he may still make changes to the plans, but the changes are going to cost you a lot of money. Here's the story of a specific house. The owner, this house, called me up. He wanted to be in this specific large lot subdivision, and he wanted this specific beautiful lot in that subdivision. Unfortunately, the subdivision had just been bought by one of the large volume builders. And as you'll find, a lot of them, the local guys are being squeezed out because they don't have the financing to stick with the game. And the subdivisions are being bought out by the big players, MI Homes, David Weekly, so many of them. And now you're playing with the big guys, and they want to use their stock plans. Unfortunately, in this case, the big builder had taken over this neighborhood, and he had selected 3 stock plans that he wanted to build in the subdivision, that he would build in the subdivision at the price point he was aiming for. These are good looking houses. Well, of course, I mean, and about 4,000 square feet in the $600,000 to $800,000 range. So we're not talking cheap, and we're not talking small. In fact, we're talking about a pretty good deal for your money if you can get 4,000 square feet of good quality for $150, $175 a square foot, including the lot. The potential owner of this house had friends who'd worked with me in the past, and they knew, the owners knew they wanted to make some changes to the stock plan, so they asked me if I would be willing to help them just on a small consulting basis, essentially to give them a second opinion and to help them in talking to the builder about the changes they wanted. Okay, all the actual changes to, you know, the physical drawing of the lines would be done by the builder's in-house design department. They'll never accept the idea that an outside architect will redraw the house. Let's see. Well, first I said, sure, I'm happy to talk to people on any basis, whether it's, you know, an hour consult or the whole design of the home. And in a way, this works as a brain teaser to me. They're fun puzzles. So I said, sure. He dropped off the stock plans and gave me a quick idea of what he and his wife's thoughts were, such as they wanted a bigger kitchen. They wanted to push out the side wall and add 2 feet to the kitchen so they could put in another row of cabinets on the other side of the center island. They wanted or needed a fifth bedroom, wanted a screen porch off the back, and a basement. And they picked the lot specifically because it would fit a basement on it. So these were he gave me their thoughts and what they wanted, and we set up a meeting for the next afternoon when his wife could be there as well. Well, I'd had time to look at the plans, plus his wife could be there. And that's very important. Anytime you talk to a designer about your home, unless it's small details, it's really important that both spouses be there. Because not only then do you both hear it directly from the designer, but also the designer can hear what both of you are thinking and incorporate, you know, the thoughts of both people into the design. So it's really important that you both be there for these meetings. Let's see. Okay. And the other thing was that they have kids. One of the big reasons they were moving is because they have kids that were just approaching the teenage years, and they wanted a bigger house on a bigger lot for these kids. And so I asked them before they came for the meeting the next day, I did a whole show on preparing your house for teenagers and just asked them to listen to that before they came the next day. Okay, then I looked at the stock plan. It's funny, there aren't really that many different ideas and different ways you can lay out a house. And this plan, the plan that they had, is very similar to, you know, ones I've seen several times in the past. And so I've seen it before, but this was this company's in-house designers' design department's version of the plan. And I think my first thought was, this is a train wreck. It was a very bad ripoff of a successful design. And it was so awkward and convoluted that made my teeth hurt. It's amazing how just a push here and a nudge there, you can take something that is good and make a bad copy of it. That's what this was. So that evening, I sketched and brainstormed for a couple of hours and getting nowhere, but gaining a feel of the issues involved, the limitations and the problems, and also trying out pieces. Can I solve the kitchen? Can I solve the master bathroom? Can I solve, you know, a piece? And working my way around the main problem, which is this thing is awkwardly bad. So, sometime around 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning, in a half sleep, I think the macro solution came to me. So, and as they often do, is they just filter around in your head and things come together. So I got up and started sketching. The solution involved moving the back stair to, which was really awkwardly placed, moving it to create a long perpendicular sight line to the primary sight line from the front door through to the back of the house. And to create that perpendicular sight line, and which just made the communication through the house come together. And with the stock plan, you have to understand that, with the stock plan, you have to understand that the structural bones, I'm reading my notes and getting confused. The thing with the stock plan, modifying a stock plan, is that you have to understand the structure of the house. The builders don't want to change the structural bones of the house. So even when you make changes to it, it has to flow within the structure and within the grid. And because if you change the bones, then you'd have a different house. So, you know, it's both, you can change anything, but you can't change the basic house or they won't build it. And when we come back from the break, I'll get into just what I did change on this house, and really it's ideas. Nearly every stock plan I see has these same issues, and so a lot of the ideas are things I think you can use on your home when we come back from break.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Step up to the microphone. View the finalists right now on VoiceAmericaKids.tv. America's next great star is waiting to be discovered. Step Up to the Microphone is an exclusive presentation for VoiceAmerica.tv, where you can see and hear America's next top child star. The program is hosted by Voice America's own Cassie Frazier, and new episodes will be available every week exclusively at VoiceAmericaKids.tv. You can say you saw them at the beginning of their superstar career. Tune in to VoiceAmericaKids.tv.
Tune into Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's. We're a show all about wine, spirits, and other beverages. Your host, Kimber Stonehouse, is a professional expert and wine enthusiast. Each week, we'll focus on a different region of the world, discuss wines and other beverages, talk about some of the top restaurants in the region, and what to pair with which wine. Just listening could make you almost an expert. Around the World in a Glass is heard live every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
you're tuned in to Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipart@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Now I'm sitting down with the husband and wife and, in essence, pitching them my thoughts on, you know, on how to improve their future home. Started with the front of the house. This was a big house on a four-acre lot with lots of frontage. But the stock home was really designed for an 80 or 100-foot wide lot, you know, half-acre lot in a standard subdivision. So, as they usually are, the home was tight. And really, on this big lot, would look small. So the first thing I suggested was elongating the front porch. Remember, you can't change the bones of the house, but you can play with the front porch. So I suggested elongating it and wrapping it around the corner. This is kind of a quasi-Victorian looking home. So the wraparound front porch is completely in character. It also lengthens the house, the narrow front facade, it lengthens it by about 20%. Now, instead of having a house that is 60 foot wide, it's now 75 feet wide. Because when we wrapped the corner with the porch, we made, in essence, an outdoor room out there, and a beautiful place to sit and, you know, see your neighbors. Did a show on the front porch, on porches, and anyway, so we elongated the house. The longer the house is, the more impressive it looks. In theory, the higher it would resale for, because it looks more impressive. Then we stepped in the front door. They had done, so I can't explain the reasoning behind some of the things that you see on these stock plans. Normally, you step in the front door, and to one side is the dining room. Generally, it's to the left, and to the right is the front parlor or study. And that's what this was, but they'd taken the doors to the study, and instead of putting them off of the foyer, they'd put them to the back facing the great room, because you look straight back to the great room past the stairs. And they put the doors to the study facing the great room, which meant you stepped in the front hall, which was a little more narrow than it should be, and you just had this big blank wall. So I moved the doors to the study back into the foyer, and they should be French doors. You know, as I think I've discussed a few times, the idea of French doors so you can close off the space, or you can open them and have a gracious opening. Going straight back, and the ceiling, the whole house on the main floor had 10-foot ceilings. This is one of the cheapest, the builders have figured out, this is one of the cheapest and most impressive upgrades you can do, is to raise the ceiling to 10 feet. What they usually don't do is think to actually raise the windows as well. So you end up with 10-foot ceilings and short windows, and because they're using stock plans, that they now have to elongate the stairs by two steps. You end up with awkward short foyers at the beginning of this long flight of stairs. That's just a general problem with 10-foot ceilings. when you started out with actually 8-foot plans. But in any home, you should have a main room that has more oomph to it, that is more of a wow. And almost always that's the great room rather than the study or the front parlor. But you should have room that has more wow. And again, the easiest way to get that wow is to raise the ceiling. Never do two stories. Two-story rooms are uncomfortable. People do not like to be in them. But just raise it 2 feet. So that even here, you're in a 10-foot high entry hall, and then you step into a 12-foot great room. You get the message. It's more impressive, so you're going from less impressive to more impressive. If you go from a two-story foyer into a one-story room, you're going from more impressive to let down. Okay, and builders often, especially on the high end of the spec market, they decorate things. They fancy things up with molding. And moldings can't make up for dull rooms. So, first thing you do with a spec house is you try and figure out how to make your rooms less dull. Finally, and then the other thing I did was I convinced the owners, they'd wanted to push the house out 2 feet to the side to add another row of cabinets in the kitchen. First off, that's messing with the bones of the house, and so it's expensive. And adding another row of cabinets, expensive. Beyond that, it's the wrong thing to do. To add a row of cabinets on the other side of the island, so you've got, you know, your cabinets along the outside wall, then the center island, then they wanted to put in another row of cabinets on the other side. I did a whole show on kitchens. And what a bad idea this is. Those cabinets on the other side of the island from the main work area are virtually useless. They're junk collectors. And more importantly, you want your kitchen to be connected to your great room. When these cabinets get in the way and they block the kitchen from the great room. So, in essence, whoever is in the kitchen is being pushed away or blocked from joining in the family group in the great room. So, bad idea. Instead, what I did is put the kitchen sink on the island, increase the island to about, 3.5 feet wide by 10 feet long. A truly big island. Put the kitchen sink on there, and of course the dishwasher. Room for stools, and for people to sit right there and talk to whoever is working in the kitchen. And then you look over that island, you can see the TV in the great room, you can talk to the people in the great room. In this particular house, I told you at the start that I moved the back stairs and set up a perpendicular long sight line through the house. Well, that long sight line goes from the kitchen sink in the kitchen sideways through the house to the back stairs. And up to the landing of the stairs with a window. So you've got this long view. You also can see what's going on in the house. This is the monitoring station that, you know, allows you to feel you've got control of your house. So that was, let's see, yes, and sight line of the back stairs can monitor the flow of the house. There's another easy opportunity in almost all of these stock home plans. They assume that the garage is on level with the house. And, you know, because they're doing a generic plan, so they don't know what the lot looks like. They don't know what the situation is with the levels. So they assume the garage is on level with the house. And then above that, underneath the roof line, they usually cram a bonus room. Why do they cram a bonus room? Because there's space under the roof, and it's really cheap to finish off that space and call it a bonus room. There's an opportunity here, a great opportunity. The garage is usually one step or a few steps below the main level of the house. Typically, I see it one step to four steps down. If you make the roof of the ceiling of the garage 8.5 feet, so just enough for the garage doors to work, and none of the space above 8 foot is used in the garage. Just make it that, or make it just high enough so that you can get the door from the garage into the house. That drops the floor of the bonus room above the garage down. Usually it drops it down from the 10-foot, the 10-foot ceiling in the main level of the house. Now you're down to 7 feet to the ceiling in the garage, 7 feet below the main floor, which means that bonus room is now almost 3 feet lower than the second floor of the house. All of that new volume of space in that 3 feet goes into the bonus room. And instead of having this cramped thing under the roof, now you've got a big bonus room under the roof. And it's much larger. There's another really neat aspect to this. I've talked about bonus rooms, and the closer they are to the main level of the house, the closer they are to the level of the kitchen, the more they get used and used by the whole family instead of just the teenagers trying to hide away. So by doing this, you lower the bonus room to where it's only 3/4 of a stair above the main level of the house. And I told you I had shifted the back stair of this house. Now that back stair ran up to a landing, and that landing was perfectly placed then to become the doorway entrance into the bonus room above the garage. Means it's real easy to use the bonus room. Also, remember there's a direct line of sight from the kitchen sink to that stairway and that landing, which means that from the kitchen sink, the mom can monitor what's going on. She can monitor the activity, the flow in and out of the bonus room. This is really, really a good idea if you've got teenagers and you've got, you know, them scurrying about. Gives you, listen to my show about how to set up your house for teenagers. Okay. Now, you also have to, in the stock plans, have to watch out for truly dumb things. It's like moving the door to the study off of the foyer. Well, upstairs in this house, truly dumb, two of the bedrooms actually came off of the bonus room instead of coming off of the upstairs hallway. Teenagers would love this. The parents have no control over them, no ability to monitor what they're doing. Truly dumb. And this is the sort of things that you'll find in these stock plans. And when we come back, I'll talk about the master bedroom and wrap up the stock plan rebuild.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Voice America Network proudly presents The Catherine Zox Show for women, men, children, and families. Catherine magically combines her compassion, experience, and talent to bring listeners a show that's upbeat, informative, and yes, a little sassy. Tune in every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern, to The Catherine Zox Show on the Voice America channel.
When you talk about the subject of bullying, it's not just the person being bullied who is dealing with complicated issues. It's also parents and teachers. Bullying has even taken a new turn with social networking, negative images, and even reality TV. Tune in to One Word Nation Radio with host Jessica Brookshire. We'll put the issue of bullying front and center, going beyond the classrooms and hallways of our schools to help empower and protect youth and their families. Listen every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
I think that, you know, before I met with this couple, I asked them to listen to my show on how to prepare your house for teenagers. And that was a real good primer. So when I talked to them about ideas in the house and ways to arrange it, they'd heard that show and were already tuned in to some of their concerns about having teenagers in the house and how you facilitate both bringing them closer to you and also giving them the privacy they want, but actually holding them close. And the man came in and he said, you know, that one idea you had about there being one TV in the house, in the great room, and if the kids are going to watch TV, they're going to do it with us. That's probably, well, he said, you know, that just sounds like such a great idea. And so another plug for one of my shows. The other thing I did was I rearranged the master bedroom suite of the house. And primary reason was that ideally you want to get east light into the master bath. I've come over the years to realize you don't want it in the master bedroom because, personally, I like to sleep late and work late, and so I don't want sunlight to flood into my bedroom at 7 a.m. But I do want it to flood into my bathroom and step in there and just have, you know, a glorious morning. So the impetus here was to rearrange the master suite, which was good sized. They didn't scrimp on space at all in this plan. To put the master bedroom where it has east windows. And then to kind of rearranged the master bedroom so it has grace. This is talked about how the people who do stock plans primarily started out as draftsmen. They aren't trained aesthetic designers. And it is possible to just simply stick all the elements in there and have them function, but totally without grace. Design is based upon the elements of design are rhythm, order, symmetry, and balance. And in any design, you want two of those four, rhythm, order, symmetry, and balance, to be primary. So in a master bath, often I will give it symmetry and balance because I'm trying to achieve a calmness in the master bath. And it's one space in the house that should be calm, relaxed, no jarring notes. And when you're talking about these stock house plans, no, they don't do that. They toss in two sinks, a soaking tub, a toilet, and a shower. You know, usually now in the bigger houses, they get it that the toilet should be in its own compartment. Not always. So they just toss those in, and they stick the closets on the other side of the bathroom from the bedroom. That's not grace. That's utilitarian function. And often is jarring and discordant. So one of the big things I did for this house was within the same footprint, rearranging the master bath into something that is graceful. First of all, that is flooded with morning light, that is graceful and brings some peace and calm and becomes a very pleasant space to get dressed. In fact, I kind of created it where you also had, in between the master bedroom and the bath, a dressing area with its own windows and window seat, and then into a bathroom flooded with light. This is the sort of thing that you can't get in a stock plan. Okay. Now I'll get to the bottom line. You say, oh, wow, this sounds like a whole bunch of work. Remember, all of the actual drafting is done in-house by the builder's in-house design department. And the really, in a way, disgusting thing is that I've found a few times when I've adjusted these stock plans, the person I work with has come back to me and complained that now the builder's doing that on all of them and that his house is no longer as special because he's doing, you know, they're good ideas and now he's doing them on all of them. This was a more extensive consult than I expected, but it really only took me 10 hours, that including sketches, including, well, a scaled sketch of the master suite, and three meetings with the owners. It cost the owner $1,100 on a $700,000-$800,000 house. You know, that's nothing. That's, you'll find that you'll definitely have change orders a whole lot higher than that on the house. So it was a quick second opinion. Cost the owner $1,100. And most of the changes that were made to the stock plan before there was a contract signed. So not including any upgrades, because there were a few things they wanted to upgrade from the norm. But not including any upgrades, it may not have cost the owners anything, or it may have cost a drafting charge. from the owner's in-house design group. Now, the benefit from this. So, total, it may have cost the owner $5,000. About, you know, less than 1% of the cost of the house. Now, the house looks larger from the street and more impressive. It lives more gracefully with a much better master bedroom suite and a much better bonus room. I've talked about how these things, you don't know what your house is worth until it comes up for resale. But these are the type of things that cause your house to sell for a higher price. Is being compared competitively on the market now. If your house looks more impressive, it sells for more or faster. If your house is more graceful and feels more enjoyable to live in, it sells for more or faster. So by doing this before you sign the contract, you can get a better house with get a second opinion. You can end up with a better house for almost the same money. And the little details, you know, the big important thing here is that they're going to enjoy this house a whole lot more, and it's going to bring their family closer together. And this is why they're building the house. So stay tuned next week. I'll talk about using stock plans to do a custom home from, you know, that's not with a builder. And have a good week.
Thanks again for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race. Please join your host, Steve Klipp, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.